But more often than not, God doesn't intervene straight away to solve or prevent our struggles. And Christopher Chapman writes, instead, God is alongside us and within us as we work through our difficulties and live with our losses. The cross is the most inconvenient of symbols for those who seek immediate resolution of suffering. The cross speaks more of solidarity. It expresses God's active and costly choice to go on bringing resurrection within all dimensions and experiences of life. But the way often lies through some kind of death. It's ironic, isn't it, that so often we pray to God to protect us from the very struggles and processes that refine us. I'm going to pray, and then we'll just have a short time of silence, and following that, Celia will read to us. Let's pray. God of grieving, God of silence. There is a strange gift in having time to sit with questions of why and how long, and to hear no response at all. To rush from Friday to Sunday, from death to resurrection, wouldn't do either justice. Nor would it dignify the life of those whose pain, daily pain and grief, and constant pleas for justice go unanswered in the world's daily rhythm. Lord, let your silence fill this silence until our empty noise dies out. Nor is there meant to be. The things I have done, the things we have all done, have caused the loving creator of the world to suffer. There is nothing good about Good Friday, only God's goodness in choosing this path of conflict, of loneliness, of suffering, of death for us. Perhaps we've inherited a theology of the cross with an emphasis on resurrection, thinking only of the suffering alongside the celebration and the liberation and the joy to come. Philip Sheldrake writes, without the cross, the resurrection is in danger of becoming pure utopianism. Today, on Good Friday, there is no resurrection. Only questions and pain, loss, powerlessness, weakness, and death. And this is the reality of the world without God. And this is the reality that God chose to inhabit, powerlessness, weaknessness, in order to liberate not just humanity, but the whole cosmos, from every condition of slavery. Today we're invited to contemplate Christ's passion. It's a word whose meaning has changed so much over time. But passion, pathos, are reaching out with every fibre of our being in sadness and anger at the events leading up to Jesus' death. When we choose to follow Jesus, we also choose to participate with him. Beginning with the gradual misunderstanding of his disciples and betrayal of close friends, his abandonment when he asked for their prayer support, his total and utter helplessness as he is handed over to those who wished him harm the kangaroo court that would find him guilty despite all evidence to the contrary. And then his torturous road to the most agonising and humiliating death known to man, invented by the very people that he came to save. The cross displays both the revelation of God's nature of selfless love and the nature of the world in need of redemption. The cross is not liberation from death, it is liberation of death. You might need to think about that one. And in the words of Michael Rosen, we can't go over it, we can't go under it, we have to go through it. The experience of humanity is alienation from God, the silence and the absence of God. And this is what Jesus experienced when he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The cross is the vulnerability of God. Both Father and Son suffer, surrender. And this contrasts starkly with the power of our world. Jesus undergoes a time of absolute self-abandonment, becoming weak in the world's eyes as he identifies with the anguish of oppressed peoples everywhere, of every age, with their inequality, indignity, grief and injustice. So today on Good Friday, we sit with the one who knows only loneliness and anguish, as we see what our rejection of God, our hatred, our pride, our love of self, our love of power has loaded onto him. Sheldrake goes on to say, the very idea of consciously following Jesus arises from a sense of conflict between kingdom values and those of the world. The cross, therefore, cannot leave us indifferent or detached. It demands commitment in taking sides. So I leave you with this thought. If we are created in the image of God, then we too need to respond to his selfless, powerlessness, vulnerable love. We cannot begin to understand the liberation of Sunday without the pain of Friday. And in Luke 9, right at the very time Jesus was explaining to his disciples that he was about to die, he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Sobering words. If we truly want to follow Jesus, it will cost us everything.